Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Oi with the Terror. I'm one of your hosts, Sandra.
I'm your other host, Danielle.
And we are back after a very long 6-month sabbatical. So, yay!
We didn't go anywhere exciting or anything, but we just felt like we needed a break from dark topics.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was winter. It was cold. It was
true. It could have been the whole sad thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, but we are officially back, and yeah, we're both excited. I think.
Nod. Yes. Yeah. We're not really changing anything. We're like doing the same format as before. For if anyone needs a refresher. I cover, like, true crime and, I don't know, pop culture crime and salacious things in history for some reason. And then Sandra covers different topics.
Yep, mostly on folklore and scary stories that you may have grown up with, like Bloody Mary and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I will jump into my topic. So for my topic, I do need to put a kind of trigger warning, just for mentions of violence, and, you'll understand more when I discuss my topic, and I think Danielle will as well, because I think I spooked her a little bit before we started recording with things that I was saying about my topic. So, so here we go. So my topic this week is the McCamey Manor. Have you heard of it?
No.
No? Okay. So the McCamey Manor is known as a haunted house attraction, but is more of a survival horror style of an attraction. It essentially was started by Russ McCamey back in, I wasn't able to find an exact date, but he's been kind of around since like early to mid 2000s. And the house is located in a small town in Tennessee. I believe it's located in Summertown, Tennessee. And again, it kind of started out as like a mom and pop type haunted house thing. And it has now gone in a completely different direction. So essentially what the house is it permits a handful of patrons each weekend. And if anybody is interested, I believe from what I could find right now, there's a wait list for about 24,000 people, to wait to go into the house. But again, that could be, more or less than when, I looked into it. So these people that do go into the house are handpicked by Russ McCamey himself. And when he handpicks them, he does kind of a background check on them, and he finds out what they're scared of. So what he'll do is he'll essentially arrange a form of a call, like a phone call or a Zoom call, to talk to them to see what they're scared of. So he's able to kind of use that against them. There is actually no fee, no type of entrance fee to enter the house, but he does accept bags of dog food for his pets. So a lot of people do that. I believe you can also donate money, but most people just give him the dog food. And for the Tennessee location, the guests must be at least 21, or they can be 18 to 20 years of age, but they have to have parental consent. And at one point, I believe there was also an Alabama location where guests can have to be over the age of 21. So after they do the initial screening and after Russ talks with them, he then invites them to go into the house. And what he does is he lets them know that they have to meet at a very strange location. It's a location that's away from the house. It's away from the attraction. And they meet there and they go over the waiver process. That's about 3 to 4 hours. And the waiver itself is total of 40 pages. The tour then lasts from 8 to 10 hours, but no guest has actually made it through, and that's because this house, again, is not like your typical horror house. It deals with, again, people's fears. So, for instance, the people that participate, they are physically assaulted by the patrons. They are waterboarded by them. They may be forced to eat and drink an unknown substance. They may be bound or gagged, engaged in other forms of physical and psychological torture. Journalist Tara West has even mentioned that in the communities where the tour is stationed, the residents have questioned and have even essentially called the cops to report that they hear people screaming and crying. So usually what he does is before a tour, he'll call the cops to let them know himself that if they get anything reported, if they hear anything, it's just these people going through the house. There have even been patron participants that may have been drugged during their experience. And they did not used to have what we would refer to as a safe word. And for those people that don't know, a safe word or safe phrase is essentially a word or phrase that is said to let the person know that they want out, and they want out at that very moment. There have been some instances where Russ has, and he does go through every single tour with them, he has ignored it or he has pushed them to go further. But because so many people have complained, he does now have the option for participants to have a safe word or a safe phrase. So that is one of the very big controversies of this house. And there is media coverage in a lot of places. For instance, there was a documentary in 2017 that's called Haunters, The Art of Scare, and that's on Netflix. I'm sorry, that's on Hulu. The documentary that I watch, which is on Netflix, is part of their Dark Tours series. I believe it's season 3, episode 8, and it's about the last 20 minutes of that episode. Goes into detail and actually involves the journalist who decides to go through the house with somebody else. He doesn't make it very far because he only gets to the point where they are, I don't even think they're taken to the house before he just completely backs out, because just between the hours that it took to sign and read through the waiver, he was already mentally done. And the person that he went with didn't survive that much longer than he did. So that was an issue as well. There's also many different YouTube videos that you can go, and because he, while the people go through the house, he does YouTube, like he films the whole thing, and then he posts it on his YouTube page. He says that he doesn't get any money from any of this, but people disagree, because you can definitely make money off of stuff like YouTube. So, and the fact that you don't have to pay to go in, you can just give him dog food, is kind of another red flag, because you're wondering how he's able to pay for any of this and pay for the people that he work for him. Basically, journalists that have gone to interview him or talk to him, or you can really watch any interview with him, have tried to like kind of figure out like why he does what he does, because it's, again, it's not like a typical haunted house. The other people that are in the haunted houses communities don't like him because they don't believe that he represents what they do. And it's very different than what they do. It's very different to go through a house where you just get scared by something or something jumps out at you versus being waterboarded. But there are people that do it. And there are people that have done it 2, 3, 4 times, and they keep coming back. And one girl mentioned in one of, I think it was the documentary on Netflix, she said that it's, quote, it is very safe, and the point is to make it not feel safe, and that works, and that's why people keep going back and trying again to see if they can last longer. Again, no one's made it through this whole thing. There is rumors of also I think like a $20,000 cash prize if you can make it through the whole thing, but again, no one has made it. And even when Russ was asked, you know, why does he do this, he says that he described himself as a con artist that can deliver on every promise that he says, which is true. He also says that this is just a little niche that he was able to find, and that he just really enjoys doing it. It's kind of crazy when you think about going to a haunted house, and instead of a like seeing, you know, what you expect to see, you're pretty much just scarred by your fears and everything.
It sounds, they probably get a lot of attention around Halloween, mm-hmm. I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, they do. And I've been wanting to do this topic for a while because I've heard of it, Again, there's a ton of different YouTube videos on it. A ton of different people have talked about it. But the fact that it's still going, and if you go to their website, like, their website isn't really that well done. It's just, like, it's kind of very disorganized. It's kind of hard to navigate, like, but it does mention everything from, you know, the waiver ceremony to you have to be over 21 to this is not your typical haunted house. You're going to be experiencing a ton of different fears and everything. So it is kind of one of those that you do wonder why people do it, because there are the adrenaline junkies and you think that like they would do it and they do, but they don't last as long because, you know, they don't realize how bad it's going to be until they're actually in there.
Sounds sadistic.
I watched some of the YouTube videos and it was really hard to watch. Because you're watching these people get waterboarded, you're watching them be blindfolded, you're watching them, like, some of them, I think it even says in the waiver, like, you may have your teeth pulled.
What?
With, like, yeah, like, some people have had, like, teeth pulled with, like, no Novocaine in this thing.
How did you find this?
I found it on, I don't know. I think I just, like, I've been wanting to, like, look into this for a while, because it's just one of those things where you read about and you're like, this cannot be real. Like, there's no way that there's 24,000 people that are on this wait list. You also have to do a medical evaluation and a psych evaluation.
Where is it?
So it's located in Tennessee, and I went through an unfortunate 3-hour rabbit hole last weekend looking into this, and I don't recommend it. I don't recommend it. If you look on their website, you can actually find, like, links to documentaries and links to his videos and stuff. And I don't know. He was also, I guess, in the military for, like, 20 years, 23 years, I think. So there's that as well, where he's, like, learned, like, how to torture people and, like, how to, like, get them to, like, face their fears. And that's what he puts it as. It's like, oh, you can face your fears and at any time, like, I can pull you out. But then it's like, but I'm saying my safe word or my safe phrase and you're not pulling me out. You're making me go further. So it's just really, it's a really crazy, crazy place. And if anybody has been to it or knows about it and would like to share some, you know, information or whatever, you can definitely do so. And I would definitely be interested in hearing your experiences or your stories with the McCamey Manor.
Nice.
Are you looking it up right now?
No, no. I don't think I want to based on everything you've said.
Mm-mm. No, you don't. And the other thing is, I don't think I can get photos because I was trying to, like, find photos and I couldn't find any. So, yeah. Yay.
Well, good job.
Thank you.
And on your return topic.
Yeah, my fun return topic.
Yeah, that was kind of intense.
The only videos or images that I can find are just people that have gone through it and that are just, they're not okay. We're just going to leave it at that. They're not okay.
I'm surprised they didn't get taken off of YouTube.
I don't know how he gets around it, but Russ McCamey definitely gets around stuff.
Yeah. You said there's a documentary on Hulu?
There's one on Hulu. There's one on Netflix. And then if you just search, like, McCamey Manor on YouTube, like, there's different stuff from, like, the stuff that he's filmed and he's put up on his channel. And then there's stuff that, like, other people who have done, like, other podcasts have, like, talked about or researched about. And you can also, I'll make sure to include a few of those links as well if people are interested in kind of doing their own research on it.
Okay.
So, but also the fact that he doesn't, like, you don't pay for this. You just give dog food. So, he has, like, 5 or 6 dogs, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's crazy. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, you do you. I don't really get it, but if it makes you, you know, better or happy, I wish you luck, because it's an intense situation. Even some people have come out and said, like, they're a good mix. There are people that have come out and that have said, like, I'm really glad I did it because it pushed me to a place that I didn't think I could go. And then there's some people that have been like, I really wish I didn't do that. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like,
I guess you have an idea of what you're getting into if you sign up for it, but well, it's just like the amount of people that want to do that troubles me.
Yeah. Because he really does only take like small groups. Like,
yeah,
it's not like you go and you line up and you wait in line to get into this haunted house like you would in like Salem or, you know, anywhere else. It's no, I have to sign up. I have to pass a medical evaluation, a psych evaluation, and prove it to him that I'm okay to do this. And then he calls me to find out what I'm scared of. And then we meet at this random spot for a 4-hour waiver read ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then I finally get to go into the attraction. So it's like, it's a lot.
Weird.
It's definitely a lot. And the fact that he has to call the cops to be like, hey, if you hear anyone screaming or like sounding like they are in trouble, it's just like people going through the McCamey Manor.
I thought it was going to be some kind of like British manor, but apparently not.
No.
Like a haunted manor.
No, it's not even a haunted manor, and that's why the haunted house community gets so mad at him, because they're like, this isn't a haunted house. Like, this is just a torture chamber.
Topic now.
Yes, I'm very curious to see what your return topic is going to be.
So I had actually thought I covered this one, but I don't think I did from checking your archive. So hopefully I didn't. But I definitely remember thinking about covering it before.
Okay.
Because there's a Hulu show about it. Called The Act with Joey King. And I feel like I even mentioned that show in a podcast episode, so I don't know. So I'm sorry if I did cover this already, and if I didn't, then I take back that apology.
I don't think you did. Like, it doesn't ring a bell, so I don't think you
did. That's good. Okay. I mean, it's an interesting topic anyway, so it's worth repeating if I had covered it already, but I don't think I did. The topic is Gypsy and Dee Dee Rose Blanchard. I don't think I have any, like, warnings or whatever. I guess it mentioned some trauma, death. I don't know.
Maybe no just
specific trigger warning.
Maybe just a general trigger warning.
Right. It doesn't get graphic or very detailed, though. They were a mother-daughter duo, Gypsy Rose and Dee Dee Blanchard. So Gypsy was a daughter, Dee Dee was the mother. It is believed that Dee Dee suffered from Munchausen syndrome by proxy. And basically imagine like gaslighting, but even worse. Like, she made her daughter believe she had all these illnesses and like was using her to her benefit to like get money and trips and things like that, because everyone thought her daughter was dying. And then when people got too suspicious, they'd move around a lot. So it's a pretty like messed up, pretty specific kind of like deception. And so I definitely thought it would be worth including in our podcast. So Gypsy always believed she had many health issues, and they were often mysterious and unexplainable. So one day Gypsy, as she grew up, it was harder to keep her like hidden and sheltered. She like found different ways to reach like out to other people. She, I think, made a Facebook page, and went on a dating website without her mom's knowledge because her mom controlled every aspect of her life. And as Dee Dee got older, she became more rebellious in a way and like started talking to other people besides just her and her mom. Her mom like isolated her and controlled everyone she spoke with. And Dee Dee like, or Gypsy couldn't take it anymore. So Gypsy Rose was born in 1991 and her medical condition started when she was a baby. Her mom, Dee Dee, claimed she had sleep apnea. And then when the girl turned 8, Dee Dee raised the stakes and claimed she actually had leukemia and muscular dystrophy. And Gypsy was always seen using a wheelchair and could only be fed through feeding tubes. Dee Dee reveled in the public sympathy she garnered by having such a sick child. The number of medical conditions Gypsy suffered from continued to increase, and it included seizures, asthma, and hearing and visual impairments. Gypsy also had a lot of medications that she took and slept with a breathing machine. She frequently had surgeries on her eyes and salivary glands. Her teeth were in very poor condition that they actually rotted away and had to be taken out, and this is attributed to the lack of nutrition like she was getting from being fed in feeding tubes, that she basically was probably likely suffering from malnutrition as well. And this impacted her appearance greatly. Like, she always looked like at least 5 years younger than what she actually was, and this benefited her mom. Like, so it was easier to trick people into thinking that there was something wrong with her. It was this, like, crazy cycle of manipulation and, like, deception. And Dee Dee was able to get away with this, like, from all these doctors, like, deceiving them because she actually did have a medical background. Specifically in nursing, and that made it easier for her to make up symptoms and lie to all these doctors. She could be charming when she wanted, and initially to people came across as a woman who was solely focused on ensuring the health of her daughter. Gypsy, as she got older, was instructed to keep all her true medical conditions to herself while Dee Dee would do all the talking. And they actually had this weird, like, signal that Dee Dee would always hold Gypsy's hand in public, and she would squeeze Gypsy's hand if she was talking too much and revealing too many details when she wasn't supposed to. And then when the Blanchard family, like, the relatives started getting suspicious. They just thought, like, Dee Dee was, like, eccentric and dramatic. But then when they started realizing, like, noticing more and more red flags, the Dee Dee decided the best thing to do was for her and Gypsy to move away and, like, start a new life. Dee Dee, as a way of getting financial means, also claimed to be a victim of Hurricane Katrina when she wasn't. So she could receive financial assistance in 2005. Then Dee Dee and Gypsy moved to Missouri in 2008, and their house was built by Habitat for Humanity as a way of basically, like, it looked good for them because they were building this house to a, like, sickly child and a mother-daughter duo that survived Hurricane Katrina. And they actually did build a wheelchair ramp because, to everyone's knowledge, she was dependent on a wheelchair. And they also received free trips to concerts and Disney World. If you look them up, there were so many photos of them at Disney, and you can, like, see how young Gypsy looked. She was actually, like, about 5 years older than she looked, and she was, like, very pale and petite and had these, like, giant, like, round rimmed glasses on, and that made her look even younger. And even though she wasn't bald from anything, her mom always shaved her head to, like, get even more sympathy from people, and she'd often wear wigs. So basically everything she was doing was like a performance, and that definitely had an impact on her as like time progressed. And her mom also dressed her in clothes meant for younger people as well. So a lot of like Disney characters or cartoon characters, and a lot of like colorful clothes and stuff like that. So when Gypsy was 14, she saw a neurologist in Missouri, and that was the first doctor who believed she was a victim of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. But for whatever reason, the doctor never reported her case to authorities. And when questioned later in interviews, he stated his belief was that there wasn't enough evidence to act on anything. In 2009, an anonymous report was made to authorities stating that Dee Dee's accounts of Gypsy's ailments had no medical basis. This resulted in two caseworkers visiting their home, but Dee Dee somehow managed to convince them that there was nothing wrong. As Gypsy grew older, Dee Dee found it more difficult to hide her true age by falsifying birth certificates. And the teenager at this point found her own ways to communicate with people outside of her bubble. In 2011, she actually attempted to run away with a guy she met at a sci-fi convention. But her mom was quickly able to track her whereabouts and like took her back home. Dee Dee convinced the man that her daughter was a minor, but at the time she was actually 19. According to Gypsy, her mother smashed her computer and then physically restrained her to her bed after they returned home. Gypsy said that her mom would also sometimes refuse her food, or would sometimes hit her and then deny her food. Gypsy's next act of rebellion occurred when she joined a Christian dating site and met Nicholas Gujon. She found someone to confide in about her tumultuous relationship with her mother, and Nicholas, I guess, was so infatuated with Dee Dee or Gypsy and her sad story that he actually agreed to kill Dee Dee. And Gypsy said that that was the only way that they could be together. So in 2015, he stabbed Dee Dee to death while Gypsy waited in a bathroom nearby in their home. Gypsy and Nicholas returned to Wisconsin, where he lived, and were found by police. The police actually found an incriminating Facebook post that Gypsy wrote shortly after her mother was killed, saying, quote, "that bitch is dead," posted twice. Gypsy later said that she like wrote it not as a way of kind of taunting her mom, but as a way of sort of like she was in shock and couldn't believe it, and basically just had to say that like as a way of confirming it to herself. So people who knew the Blanchards were shocked initially to hear that such a, like, who they thought this kind of frail, feeble young woman who couldn't walk even, how she was capable of brutally murdering her mother. But then more and more details were revealed to the public, highlighting the years of psychological and physical abuse that endured by Gypsy. And she received a lot of public sympathy, which helped her case. Basically, her mother controlled every aspect of her life. She didn't allow Gypsy to attend school, and she was conditioned to use a wheelchair whenever she was outside her home. She was basically taught to only trust her mother and no one else. And Dee Dee told everyone her daughter had the intelligence of a 7-year-old, but that actually wasn't the case. Dr. Mark Feldman, an expert in Munchausen syndrome by proxy, said of Gypsy's life and actions, quote, "the control was total in the same sense that the control of a kidnapped victim sometimes is total. Her daughter was in essence a hostage, and I think we can understand the crime that occurred subsequently in terms of a hostage trying to gain escape," end quote. Gypsy pled guilty to second-degree murder and was sentenced to 10 years in 2016. the level of deception from Dee Dee was so strong that Gypsy actually did think she was suffering from leukemia. But she had an awareness that she was able to walk and eat regular food. There's been an update recently this month, and it sounds like Gypsy has been paroled and is set to be released from prison. So that's a exciting update, I guess. But yeah, that's the story of Gypsy, Rose, and Dee Dee Blanchard.
It's just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, because I remember I heard about the update that she was getting out. And a lot of people were kind of, like, glad that she was getting out. It looks mm-hmm. like early, just because of, like, everything that we found out that she went through because of her mom.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, part of me is not surprised that she killed her mom. But, yeah, it's just, like, a crazy story.
I think she got engaged to someone, too, in prison. Not the guy who killed her mom.
I think so. And he's still in prison, right?
I think
he is.
But yeah, if you look them up, there's so many photos of them together.
Of her and the guy, or of her and her mom?
Her and her mom.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, it's one thing if you're like a helicopter mom and like you want to like keep track of your kid, but it's a whole other thing to like convince people that your almost adult child like is 5-6 years younger than like their actual age.
Mm-hmm. Like she was if Dee Dee or Gypsy hadn't done that, like, was her mom planning on controlling her for the rest of her life? Like,
probably.
She would have just kept doing that forever.
I mean, probably.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, that's no.
Yeah. So if anyone's interested, the show on Hulu is called The Act, and it has these good actors in it who play. Well, actually, all of them, the mom, the daughter, and Nicholas, all the acting is good, so I recommend it. But yeah. Yeah, as I was, like, even reading out loud, it sounded even more like, I can't believe this was real.
Mm-hmm.
So, glad I covered it.
I can't believe she got money for Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm. I think they're from Louisiana, but okay. They weren't really... Like, I remember that was in the show. They're from the area, but, like, they weren't actually victims mm-hmm. of the hurricane or something.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That, yeah, no. That mom.
And then, like, getting a house from Habitat for Humanity and Disney trips and other free things. And I don't even know how they were doing, like, the medical bills. What was going on with that?
But also, like, shaving her head to gain more sympathy.
Yeah, I know. That's not letting crazy. Her eat normally.
That's yeah. crazy. Like, all of that is just, like, manipulation at its best.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, everyone, for listening to another episode of Away with the Terror. We're excited to be back, and think, actually, moving forward as an update, we'll probably release episodes on a bi-weekly basis. I'd say. Mm-hmm. So expect a new episode probably every Thursday, twice a month. And then be sure to like and follow our posts on Instagram and Facebook. If you have any suggestions, we're open to hear suggestions for new segments or new corners. We're talking about maybe reading our horoscopes, but we're up to hear different ideas. Email us at oywiththeterroralready@gmail.com.
And we'll see you all next time.
Bye.